You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome to Friday. Yes, it is Friday, and we are happy to say hello to you. We've been here all week, and where else could we go? We heard from Nick Saban late in our show yesterday, his first press conference after the beginning of practice. He addressed the conversation that had been dominating the news yesterday, but he's ready to roll. And we're going to talk to one of the people that covers the Crimson Tide here in just mere moments. And Aaron Suttles joins us. He's been covering Alabama a long time, first in Tuscaloosa, later and now, of course, for The Athletic. Aaron, always great to have you on. Good afternoon. And tell us what you learned yesterday during day one of Alabama fall practice. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Paul. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. Maybe it's just we've been away from football too long. But you know, gauging Nick Saban's demeanor yesterday, Paul, I get the sense that he really likes this football team. And that may be odd to say, but we didn't see very much of a foul Nick Saban last year. I thought it was really sort of uncharacteristically overly positive with last year's group, and I think that's because he knew he couldn't particularly coach that group very hard. And I think he knows he's got a pretty good team this year, and I think he set the tone with his press conference yesterday, just kind of not being a curmudgeon almost, for especially for an introductory press conference for the opening of preseason camp. So that's sort of the expectation of this team, and I think he knows he's got a pretty good one.
Yeah, Aaron, I want to ask you about that. I mean, we're sitting here hundreds of miles away in an air-conditioned studio trying to read his body language, which really isn't hard to do, by the way. But it just looked like he thought about going into one of these infamous Nick Saban rants, but decided, why bother? It's only the first day of practice.
Exactly. It was odd for the first day press conference. And I get the sense that he wasn't particularly pleased with practice, and I think he's going to coach this group harder than he did last year. And I think part of it, Paul, was, you know, the media hasn't really been in that room very much with him since COVID. And because of that, I don't think he feels real comfortable having one of those Nick Saban rants via a conference call, via Zoom. He can't get into it. And I think having the reporters in the room, and he wasn't in a good mood, he wasn't in the mood to hide that, his demeanor. So he just sort of, as you mentioned, sort of flirted with a couple times you thought he might just lose it, which was odd, you know, for a first practice. But I think it just goes to the fact that he's going to be a different Nick Saban than what the softer, gentler than we've seen the last couple of years.
Listen, we're all amateur Sabanologists, Aaron, although you're probably not an amateur considering how many years you've been following him. But it just seemed to me that he was ready. He was waiting for that question that was asked in an inarticulate way, and he never really got it. Even on the rebuilding controversy, it wasn't quite. You said this. Other people said that. I mean, and so I think it was just like, okay, I'm gonna take the pitch. I really don't even care. I want to get out of here. I don't even want to be in the room with you guys anymore. But was that something I misread from the television screen? What was it like there?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, even his opening monologue is usually, especially for a first day of fall camp, is usually pretty lengthy, and he sort of goes into what he saw, or at least what they have coming back. It's almost like a dress rehearsal after the fact of SEC Media Days. We'll run down the team, but we didn't get that. It was his monologue was very short. And then when he got asked about, you know, these statements that he made about last year being a rebuilding team. He was sort of huffing and puffing at that, and then he got asking a roundabout way about injuries, and he didn't want to answer that, and he brought up Cameron Latu, the senior tight end, who's going to miss most of preseason camp, and he asked, once he, Nick Saban, addressed that, he was asked, do you know what the injury is? Instead of giving reporters what the injury is, he goes, yes, I was at practice. I know what his injury is. So it was almost like he was trying to talk himself into one of these rants. And as you mentioned, he didn't get a clumsy question that could easily be steered, but he was almost wanting that. You could sense it coming, and it was a very – overall, it was short. It was a short opening preseason camp press conference, and it was just it's usually what we get on a Wednesday night in the middle of the season when he wants, as you mentioned, when he just wants to get out of the room.
Aaron Suttles with us. Okay, we talked about an important factor, of course, Nick Saban, but let's talk about some of the other important factors that you addressed. He likes his team. He feels like maybe they're more coachable. Explain to the audience your reasoning for that, and I think I know what it is, but make sure everybody understands what you mean by that.
Well, if you follow Nick Saban's career for any length of time, he's a perfectionist. He doesn't really coach to a scoreboard. He talks about the process. You're playing to a standard. And last year, instead of holding that team accountable to that standard of perfection, which you can never reach, but you don't stop striving for it, he was sort of very complimentary of the team and very unlike what we've normally seen from typical Nick Saban on most of his teams, because he coaches them very hard. But I think he realized, I have a really young team, and they can't respond that way. So he went a different route. He was sort of building them up through the press, when in actuality, what Nick Saban does most times is he sort of keeps his team in check via the press. These rants, most of the time, as you know, Paul, most of the time aren't geared toward the media. It's using the media to get his message out. Well, last year, instead of, you know, having to hold down expectations normally that his team's too good and getting that message to the media, last year he wanted to compliment his team and get that message out so that the players could build some confidence that way. And that's what he felt he had to do, and he did a pretty good job. I mean, we've talked about that maybe one of his best coaching jobs last year in a rebuilding year, quoting Nick Saban. And this year he's got a really experienced team, and so he feels like he doesn't have to take that route, and I think that's why he's going to coach this year's team a lot harder.
Aaron, especially people that are there every day understand what he talks about when he says rebuilding. He tried to explain it again yesterday, but you're quite aware. You work for one of the most influential sports publications, I shouldn't say that anymore, entities in the industry, but you know what the rest of the country thinks and how they react when they hear Nick Saban say what he did. While he is correct in the parlance of what he's referring to, it doesn't play very well sometimes outside the boundaries of Alabama. I'm curious how that works in Tuscaloosa, because that's a place always sensitive to any criticism or raised eyebrows. But when those comments were disseminated on Wednesday, you could see the eyebrows and the roles being created from one coast to the next, at least in the world of college football.
It's right, Paul. I mean, and I was asked this. I did a mailbag a couple weeks ago, and one of the questions was it a rebuilding year? And I answered emphatically yes. And I get that it's a relative answer, because no one wants to hear that a team that won a conference championship, that had a lead in the fourth quarter of a national championship game, no one wants to hear that team was rebuilding. But in the strict definition of rebuilding, they were. They lost six first-round draft picks in the 2020 draft, including five on offense. A historically good college football team lost five offensive players. One of the best offensive lines the program's ever had was completely almost overhauled and rebuilt. And so, yeah, they were rebuilding. They were playing a first-time starter at quarterback. They had a new offensive line for the most part. So, yeah, they were rebuilding, and other fans don't like to hear that. I got a little bit of gruff from Georgia fans, and that's not – I don't think Nick Saban says that to take away anything from Georgia on what they accomplished. It was just he's talking about his team. And, again, as he said it better than I could ever say, Paul, he says Alabama's standards are different than everyone else's. So it's all relative. And, yes, that team won a championship last year and came close to winning another national championship. But it was deficient in several areas relative to what we normally see from Alabama. And I think that's all Nick Saban was trying to say. And I think he was a little agitated that he's getting pushback on that across the country.
Yeah, and it's also worth mentioning that Alabama was the preseason number one team in the country last year.
They do that quite a bit, Paul.
and they will again this year. I think that's where – listen, he doesn't care what any of us think. He's made that very clear over the years, probably more to you than anyone else. But I think if you're going to be interpreted in contextual manners, it probably wouldn't hurt for Saban to acknowledge, yeah, we were number one in the country, but – and at that point, it would probably eliminate some of the pushback more than perhaps he prefers. But I really don't care – I don't understand why he does care what anyone else thinks, considering he seems to have a market on national championships. And I want you to explain this before you go. Ever since his famous NIL comments, it seems like people are stepping up or the players are stepping up because recruiting has made a dramatic turnaround.
It really has. I mean, you fast forward or rewind, rather, back to the end of May, beginning of June. Alabama's languishing by its standards in the 50s, I think, for its 2023 class ranking. And they just caught fire. And I think it's a combination. Listen, I don't know how serious the conversation was, but I saw headlines and I heard people talking about Nick Saban and quote unquote not being able to relate to today's youth. Is NIL changing the game that it's making parity, quote unquote? And can Nick Saban keep up? And I think he and his staff have answered that question emphatically. Yes. I mean, they continue to not only do well in state, and it's a really good year in state for talent, but continue to do well regionally and nationally in recruiting. And now they're flipping kids from Ohio State. They might end up flipping a young man that's committed to Notre Dame. So they have answered the bell again that, you know, when Nick Saban is questioned on something or he brings up something, a point of, is this good for college football, generally, almost nearly unanimously, every time that's happened, he's answered the question himself, and Alabama ends up benefiting. So the recruiting class is now, I think, now number two. I think Notre Dame got a commitment yesterday and re-jumped Alabama for number one. But they'll be playing leapfrog all year long, and Alabama is expected to be there at number one again, probably when the signing class is signed.
Aaron Settles from The Athletic. Always great to talk to you, Aaron. You be well. We will see you soon. Aaron Settles, one of the best in the business, covering the Crimson Tide. So we are off and running here on a Friday. Pat Smith will join us. He hosts a show in Alabama that talks about Alabama-Auburn. We'll talk about a story that he was connected to that came out the other day that will be in a new book by John Talty. Benjamin Hockman from the St. Louis Dispatch, he'll join us as well. And your phone call is at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Headline from AL.com, best coaches in SEC history. That is Pat Dye you see pictured there. He's one. Where did Coach Dye rank? He would rank pretty high on my list. It's Saban, Bryant, Spurrier. I mean, that. Let me stop right now. And everyone knows how much I like Coach Spurrier, but Coach Spurrier should not be ranked ahead of General Nealand, and I guarantee he would admit that. Nor should he be ranked ahead of Urban Meyer, Vince Dilley, Johnny Vaught, Bobby Dodd, Pat Dye, Shug Jordan. I don't know. Who came up with this list? Do we know? Was this Matt from San Antonio who did this list? Anyway, it's not my list, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Yeah. Our pre-show Twitter question talked about tailgates. What's the best tailgate you've been to? We'll share the responses. Something tells me the Grove might get a little bit of attention. Baton Rouge.
The world's largest.
Let's get back to the calls. And Victor is in Daytona Beach. Hello, Victor.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to clarify something that yesterday where you had that interview with Matt Stinchcomb.
Yes.
If I had tiers of, like, the best color commentators, I'd have Danielson and Jordan Rogers, and then I'd have Stinchcomb right there with Kirk Herbstreit or Todd Blackledge or Brock Huard or Joel Klatt. Those guys, Cedric Stillman. Cedric Stillman's part of the Odd Couple where they have – he's really a play-by-play guy doing color with Brando, who's – really a color commentator who's doing play-by-play.
Hold on a second, Victor. I'm curious out of this. Why do you think Brando is a color is more of a color commentator than play-by-play?
Because if you listen to him, he talks more than Cedric Stillman. And he gives more description of the play. And Cedric Stillman is very succinct.
Spencer, you know, they've worked together for a long time. It's an interesting commentary that you have. And I've been bragging on you. I don't know how much of you heard that, but I thought your analysis a couple of days ago was really brilliant. I wonder if that's because Brando's a talk show host too. But I don't know. I'm gonna stay out of your specialty. So if that's what you say, I'm going to defer to you.
Well, he's just a big personality who's used to talking.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're saying, he's a talk show host. So it'd be like putting a talk show host in there and saying, okay, you do play by play. And so Stillman gives into that. But Stillman is so good in his description.
Right.
He's very succinct and erudite in his descriptions. And so it's funny because they're sort of the odd couple of how you would match up a team.
Well, yeah, but I'm pretty sure Brando's done play-by-play. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's done both. And I do think you're right, though. The great play-by-play guys – use an economy of words. They're very rich in their language, and they know when not to talk. I think may have been in the conversation about Vin Scully the other day that it was one of the biggest calls ever.
He defined it.
Yeah, he literally got up and walked away from his microphone. To make sure he did not interrupt whatever the call was. It Kirk may have been the Kirk Gibson baseball World Series call. I can't remember, but that's what the great ones do.
Yeah, he was the definition of just quality through and through. And then also he had a great personality that came through that you felt a connection with him.
But I once asked, like, Victor, I once asked a friend of mine who was a legendary play-by-play announcer what he thought distinguished those of yesteryear versus the younger ones today. And he felt like it was reading literature and understanding the richness of the language.
Yeah, and there's something to it where you can tell those who put in study and effort as opposed to those who, as I mentioned, you know, I felt like the last couple of years, Kirk Herbstreit was just showing up and going through the motions. And that's just an opinion.
Well, but Victor, I will not push back on any of your opinions, but I do want to, I do want to add though, and I'm guilty of it myself. So I feel like I've never done that, but anytime you do something other than your main job, which in this case would be to be the Saturday night analyst, you start taking away from what you do. What I mean by that is if you do game day in the morning and have to be there at 6 o'clock, which I know he does because I used to work on the show. If you do Thursday night football for Amazon, that is going to affect your main responsibility.
Oh, no question about it. And I give those guys props for the work they put in and for the effort they put in. It's just that you can feel when somebody's bringing an energy to the.
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. You know, a guy like Danielson, like him or not, and certainly. It's a good thing that, you know, he doesn't have to pass a vote every week of SEC fans whether he'll be allowed into the booth or not. That's all he does. The guy doesn't do anything else other than the Saturday afternoon game. So by the when the game starts at 3:30, he's fresh. He hasn't done TV that morning or the day before or the day before that. And he's able to go to Alabama on Wednesday and then go to Baton Rouge on Thursday to see both teams in practice. And that's really important for an analyst to be able to go to both schools as opposed to try to get your private plane to get you to the stadium on time.
Yeah, and I think that's why some of the new wave play-by-play guys are more expressive and more talkative, guys like Dave Pasch and Tom Hart, because they're covering, at times, they're covering multiple sports.
Right.
And they're getting so much more exposure. So when you hear them on the baseball broadcast, they can be so much more expressive because
yes.
The game's slower.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, baseball is by far the slowest game. I mean, you can read from the phone book sometimes between pitches.
But you guys have some of the greatest both play-by-play and color commentators on those baseball games, which makes them interesting.
But Victor, I don't watch a lot of baseball anymore, but I grew up on baseball. And I would put the old announcers, you know, the Scullies, the Red Barbers, the Mel Allens, television had Dizzy Dean, Kurt Gowdy. I mean, I think those guys were in a different league than whoever does the Sunday night game now, and I don't even watch it, so you'd have to tell me.
Yeah,
I do know one thing. I refuse to watch any game that A-Rod was part of the broadcast, so.
Yes. I would agree. I don't know how he got on there, and I don't know why people think he's popular because
He's a blithering idiot, in my opinion, but I shouldn't say that. Does he work for ESPN? Strike me dead, please. A-Rod works for everyone. I will say the best move of J-Lo's career wasn't marrying Ben Affleck. It was dumping A-Rod.
Yeah, anybody who gives him a paycheck, he's probably
There's a word for that, Victor, but I'm not allowed to say it on the air. Hey, listen, you take care of yourself. It's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon. We'll take a break before I get fired. Do you think anybody's watching? I mean, A-Rod's too busy right now.
Yeah, he's not watching.
He's too busy, you know, getting the dust off his linen jacket.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we're back. Andre is up next. Good afternoon, Andre.
Say it loud, Coach. The Eye of the Tiger. Say it loud. You know what? I'm an LSU fan. You know that.
Yes.
But I listened to you yesterday, Coach, pacifying those Nebraska Cornhusker fans. You did everything but change that diaper. You were telling them how it's going to be all right and Scott Frost is going to make it. You know, in life, Coach, we got to deal with the truth. The hard truth. It takes talent to win, and if you don't have talent, you're not going to win. I know it, and you know it. You kind of let me down yesterday, Coach. I thought you were going to go on and give him some reality. But
no,
you didn't
see, Andre, you got me misjudged. I always wait for the first loss to give them the reality check.
Listen, the guy,
and that will be whatever their first game is.
The kind of gentler Coach Paul Feinbaum. Thanks for taking my call, Coach.
Thank you, Andre. We're just getting the pigs ready for slaughter. That's all we're doing. We're fattening them up. Pat is up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. I think Athens and Auburn are probably the two best tailgating places to have a tailgate. I've been to the Grove. I was there in 19, and we had someone set the tent up for us the night before, and we had two tents, and all we had to do was pick up from the caterer Saturday morning. But it was tent after tent after tent. I mean, it was a bucket list thing, but quite honestly, I was disappointed in it. I've been to LSU three times. Two in the afternoon and once at night. And I'm never going back after the third time. I've never feared for my life in a tailgating situation as I did then. And I'm not making this up. My life, my wife's life, our two children's lives, I thought we were going to be attacked. And all we did was just turn left.
See, that,
when
see
we should
you
know, turn
you,
right.
You've obviously never read my book on tailgating.
Well, I've read your book. My conference is better than your conference.
Well, I'm going to write one on tailgating. What you always do, Pat, is when you go into enemy territory, you go in disguise. You wear their colors. That way, they'll never bother you.
Well, that doesn't happen at Auburn, and that doesn't happen at—
You just buy the cheapest LSU hat you can find, which will be very inexpensive. You put it on, and then because anybody that shows up in their own garb is just looking for trouble.
Well, I've got another story on that after the game at a bar after that, but that's not the reason.
Well,
I called.
By the way, did you win or lose the game?
We won two and lost one.
Yeah. Okay. Just wait for the next book. Okay. I will educate you on how not to lose your life in Baton Rouge.
Well, I appreciate that.
calling Baton Rouge. Has anybody ever used that one before? Hey, thanks for the call, Pat. Appreciate it. Let's check out with Gary in Wyoming. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I'll if you don't mind, I'll tell you my ideas of a good tailgate place right at the end here. But I wanted to ask you, Victor had a good call, good input in that, and it was on Tim Brando. I don't know if you've had him on lately or not, but I hope you maybe get him on and pick his brain a little bit on what's going on with Pac-12 and his thoughts on revenue and everything that may affect him and others. And I think Victor had a good point about Brando. He's pretty colorful regardless of the sport. I mean, you can hear him on a football game, a basketball game, gymnastics, whatever, and you know him as well as anybody. And I don't know what has happened to the field anymore, but you know, like Kurt Gowdy, for example, you know as well as anybody that you could hear him on a baseball game or a football game, and a lot of it had to do with their voices, much of it did. And my question for you is did you, when you went into the field, I know you started out in journalism before you got on radio and that, but did you do some voice training that made it more appealing for radio?
Gary, I'm afraid to answer this question this way because it will be used against me. I have no professional training in broadcasting at all. And I know everybody says, oh, big surprise. I barely had any training to be a newspaper person, but I went into it because I had a couple of job offers after spending some time on the school paper. But I did not have a journalism or communication curriculum in college. It was something that just happened. And radio just happened, and I did spend some time early on trying to listen and learn how to communicate better, and I'm still working on it because it's a challenge to me not being a singer where you really learn how to control your voice through oxygen or a broadcaster to sound like the titans of the industry. So no, I don't have any training at all.
Well, you do, obviously you do a good job, and I've listened to you for a lot of years, and
thank you.
You do an excellent job. But like you talked about some of the ones of the past and even present, even like Johnny Holiday, Fred Manfred,
right?
Kurt Gowdy, Kubek. Yeah, you know, some of those people got into the business, you know, it was because of their background in sports. And I think that in the industry, they really need to take a better look at this is an industry in itself, regardless of your background. I mean, if you can't play football, don't come out and play football. If you can't speak clearly and captivate the audience, please don't apply.
No, Gary, I will say this to you. I know a lot of people who play professional football. You get to know them over the years, and many have, and thank you for the call. Many will ask me, I'd like to get a job at ESPN. You can be surprised, but I would say people in the industry know pretty quickly if somebody is going to have a chance to be successful or not. And there's some key ingredients that go into it. And it's not always... You don't have to sound like an opera singer or like Chris Fowler or Vern Lundquist. You just have to be able to communicate, and that's the key. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Need to know Randy, too. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And hey, welcome back. It's Friday afternoon.
Yay.
When I think Friday afternoons, I think one person.
Me.
You.
Thank you.
I-Man is next.
Live from the capital city. You know, Paul, it's 420 somewhere. You know, I was listening. What's the guy's name that he just was on a little bit ago? He called and broke down the
Victor.
The announcers and all that. Who?
Victor in Daytona Beach. I like this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
We're thinking about making him a regular on the show.
You know, and I think you ought to publicly assign him some homework for Monday. And you know, we get the play by play guys, the talking heads, and all that.
You know, what we ought to do. Think about this for a second.
We're on the same page.
On the show, don't we? So
yeah,
like
we
have Cole Kublik on. We'll have him break down Cole Kublik while Cole's on the air.
And, you know, tell him, give him 5 callers every so often. I mean, you know, I know some of these callers are real thin skin and can't take it.
But I think
the guy's interesting. I think what he's hearing and what he's thinking about is very interesting. Maybe, and certainly not knocking, what's Smithmeyer? Is that how you say his name?
Ken Smithmeyer, the judgment expert.
Yeah. He does a good job, but at the same time, this guy's a regular guy, or he comes across like a regular guy.
So you're going to fire Ken Smithmeyer for a caller from Daytona Beach?
Well, I mean, we understand that Mr. Smithmeyer does do a lot of work with the University of Alabama, so.
That's
true. I mean, maybe.
I forgot.
He might have a bias.
To 6 national championships.
Yeah, I mean, he may be a part of that NIL package as well. Who knows?
But
I think the guy's real interesting, and I think what he brings to the table. And when he was talking about Matt yesterday, I thought the way I understood it was he thought it wasn't so much about being behind the quarterbacks that do the talking. I thought he kind of labeled him as the best of all of them.
I did too.
For what he brings to the table. And I agree with him. Jordan Rogers has done an outstanding – Jordan is real easy to listen to. He comes in, gives some facts, and moves on. Got a pleasant kind of sounding voice. Greg McElroy knows a million words, and he will use them between each play.
Yeah, that's it. He knows a million words and will use every one of them. Is that what you're trying to say?
Every one of them. And then get back before the play is ready. But we love Greg, and Greg's game manager, and he's time manager on that little spot. No, I think the guy in Daytona is real interesting. I like to hear people's opinions about stuff like that.
We are going to name him the unofficial media critic on the PF show.
Yeah, and I think it'd be interesting to give him 5 callers, give him some of the older callers like myself, and give him some of the new callers.
I mean, we don't need him to break down the callers. We have callers who do that for us.
Oh, we do, but they suck.
We got. I mean, AC is our caller expert.
I don't know about AC, Paul. I tell you what. I cannot believe a
heating and air conditioning engineer does not like a guy named AC.
Let's put the facts out like they are. In the state of Alabama, everybody's family has a member that knew Hank Williams or Bear Bryant.
Right.
Do you think in AC's family he has a member that knew Jimmy Hoffa?
Yeah. You're right. Hey, I mean,
and knows
ever,
where he's buried.
Have you ever heard a song where a guy, you know, runs into Hank Williams from the 50s near Montgomery? Has anybody ever written that song?
Oh, the Angel from Montgomery?
Midnight in Montgomery, Angel from Montgomery.
Yeah, Midnight in Montgomery, yeah, I mean, all those
There
songs.
Must be 50 songs where they all – I heard one the other day, another artist. Everybody has met Hank. You know, come on in, get in the car. Let's drive to Nashville.
Well, and you know, Hank's buried not far from here.
I have been to Hank's home burial place.
in our younger years, we'd drive up to the cemetery and have a beer with Hank. We'd have one and pour one on the gravesite. And
been there, done that, and we'll never do it again.
No. Just like I was coming back from Mexico one time, Paul. I was 23 years old down in Acapulco.
Yeah.
And I was full of being a 23-year-old.
Yeah.
And I got to the airport, and I did not realize the significance and the severity of what I was doing inside my boots, my one boot, what I was doing until I got to customs. And then I realized this ain't good. This ain't kind of like what's going on in Russia right now. This ain't good. It don't matter what you think.
So
it matters what those people.
You were trying to bring some weed back into the country?
Yeah, about four or five joints.
Oh, my goodness. And can you call the Mexican consulate and see what the limitations of the statute of limitations are? We might haul his rear back to Acapulco.
I didn't think too much of it.
Leaning on Jim to bail you out.
I mean, I had on a ZZ Top DeGuelo T-shirt from a concert, and I didn't think too much about it till we got to customs. And this little lady looked like Sergeant Carter from Gomer Pyle. And I tell you, she meant she was doing her job.
Wow.
And scared the living daylights out of me. You know, it scared the living daylights out of me. The only thing I could think of was international drug smuggling. It didn't matter. It didn't matter that, I mean, you know, I wasn't part of the cartel. But I was coming back to the United States, and I tell you what, it did. It scared the living daylights out of me.
We're up against a break. I'm in trying to bring weed back into this country from Mexico. Acapulco Gold. Is that what they used to call that? Was that Acapulco? Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.